Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Fan.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
That's a bunch of malarkey!
Yes.
Digital. Find it only on the Common Man program page. He's the clown from Brown. He's the fourth in the north. This is the Common Man, Dan Cole.
The Common Man program coming down in five. Well, actually, three to five sounds like more than four, two, one. Greetings, good afternoon. Oh, thank you for the applause. Hack, hack, a dack, and dack, dack, ack to you and yours. If you remember nothing today, remember this. If nothing all day that sticks inside your cranium, remember that 1 million seconds is about 12 days. 1 billion seconds is about 32 years. Think about that for a while. Chew on that. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Stick that in your craw. 1 million seconds is about 12 days. 1 billion seconds is about 32 years. And put those numbers into... translate them into dollars, and I think you'll get my drift. I saw this is a really good cheap shot. I'll save for later. Where did the email go now? Here it is. This is the one I wanted to start with. I oftentimes you'll hear it during the Common Man program during the beginning. You just heard, by the way, Zach, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Zach with a triple Z because he's so laid back. It's almost like he's asleep. Zach could work at Zorba's. Mm-hmm. Zach Halverson is with us. And you did another nice job there during the Common Man Open fanfare for the Common Man, dropping the sound bites that we've used over the years. No two Common Man program opens have ever been alike. There's no other show that can say that. Mm-hmm. Every other show has a basic standard theme, which is fine. I'm not criticizing it. I'm just talking about how unique it is that because we've never placed the sound bites in exactly the same spot or used the exact same sound bites. You know, let's say there's 10 or 12 of them. We don't use the same 10 or 12. Never have. Tenneby just kind of wings it. You kind of wing it. Maybe Tenneby's fooled me once. Shame on me. Fool me. An old saying in Tennessee. Maybe he's like replayed an open from the day before or earlier. It's exactly the same. So to himself, he's thinking, you're wrong, Common. We have played the same open before. But as far as I know, we haven't. But one of the sound bites we use is when PA was on the Mark Rosen show. We were on a panel. It was PA, myself, and the superstar Mike Morris. And Rosen asked a question about the fan, just about what do you think of the radio station in general? Or what do you think about the makeup of it? And PA does this, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says something to the effect of, I think we're really strong right now. Morning show is doing well, particularly with what it has to go up against. And that was when it was Morris in the morning. And then he goes, Dubers and I have done well, knock on wood. Common and Hartman have done okay. We've done okay. And then Barrero's the primetime player. We're cultivating a couple of kids in Sludge and Lake. And we've got the Vikings and some other things. So I think we're really strong right now. And he's right. We're really strong. I wouldn't say Hartman and I were just doing okay. I've brought this up before. We built this station on Common, Barrero, and Hartman built. It doesn't work quite as well. But that we were the three cornerstones of this radio station.
Yeah.
But we're cultivating kids again. Zach Halverson, we're cultivating you.
Absolutely.
We cultivated Sauce, not a kid anymore. He's a main player here, but cultivating him, cultivated Hockey, cultivating Brett, cultivating Breanne. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of people we are cultivating here, Max. We're cultivating people. We continue. And for instance, it's funny how it changes. Here's an email. Subject line, this came to Common at KFAN.com. At 8:17 last night, you had such an impact on a listener, Mercurial guy, who I hear from often. Mm-hmm. You made such an impact on him that he was still thinking about you at 8:17 last night. And he writes, subject line, Halvey. Loved Zach today on the Grum Common. He fit in brilliantly. Shows why you never take a day off, because there's always someone around the corner that can do your job just as good as an interim producer. It's a real change of pace to actually hear him talk and be given a chance to speak without eight contributors chiming in to rip or belittle him. Zach also won big, picking Colin Morikawa to win the Open down at the Iowa Sportsbook. Brilliant hockey mind, brilliant golf mind. Love the show today. Me boy. Mercurial guy. Did you win money down at the Sportsbook?
Yeah, I put a fairly good
sizable amount.
Yeah, on Mr. Morikawa, and enjoyed my Sunday very much. Though,
how long ago did you lay your money down?
It was a week ago today. Actually, I went down there. Okay. And
what kind of odds did you get on that?
I got plus 3,500 on them. So
you explained that to me. I don't understand.
I was 35 to 1, essentially. So I bet $69 on them. And
why did you pick the number 69? Your favorite number, morning show random, related?
Yeah, something like that.
69, you know, immature, yoga pants, breast.
You know, wanted to put 100 on the whole thing. And so I wanted to have one kind of big one. And then I sprinkled 10 on Fowler and Kisner and stuff like
so
that.
So what did you end up pocketing out of Colin Morikawa's championship?
$2,484.
Wow.
So. Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah. Now, don't spend it all in one place, but that's a nice chunk of change.
I'll do my best. Got a Vegas trip in a week, so
yeah,
don't have to do too much damage down there. But
right,
should be fun.
So do you go down to that Iowa Sport? Is that Sleepy Joe's? And what's it called?
Diamond Joe.
Diamond yep. Joe's. So you go down to Diamond Joe's often?
That's a lot more now, right. Obviously.
Sure.
I went down for my birthday. I think I went down there back in like April and then now last week. So, and actually on Monday to cash it. So, yeah, might be spending some more time. It's not a bad drive. It's fairly quick.
Diamond Joe's, but it was coming up roses for you because that's that. Well, that's a nice take. So good for you. But see, there are people out there that. So I think we talked a little bit about this yesterday. When you're on the air, how often are you on in the morning show then? Once a week, every day? Or
I'm there every day.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm in different capacities throughout the show, but right. Every day I'm somewhere.
So how often do you actually think? I mean, if you were going to say in a 3.5-hour show,
mm-hmm.
if you were going to put a clock on how many seconds, minutes, hours you talk in a day, on average, I mean,
sure.
I suppose there's time like when you won this bet, they probably gave you a bit more.
Right.
Hey, let's talk about this. But on average, what do you think you get a day? A minute, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour?
I would say about, if you were to add up my time, probably about 5 minutes-ish.
About 5 minutes-ish.
Maybe throughout the show.
So think about 5 minutes doesn't give you much of a chance to make a big impact, but you made that kind of an impact.
No.
In 5 minutes.
Awesome.
Imagine if you were allowed more time. Do you think the possibility is they know that you're waiting in the wings, that you're a star that's rising, and if they give you too much time, all of a sudden you become what would be the old Wally Pipp, Wally Pipp was replaced, maybe not even to that degree, but all of a sudden you start getting a little bit more time than some of the other contributors, and then all of a sudden that's the problem when you're trying to juggle that many people on the air. Everybody loves their radio time. They become addicted to it. It's almost like crack cocaine. I'm on the air and I'm talking. I'm funny. I'm witty. Everybody loves me. And I got big fans. And this is so much fun. And when I go out now and in the real world, people recognize me all the time. And I need more airtime, man. I mean, because if it wasn't for me, the morning show wouldn't be where it is. Have you sensed any envy and jealousy among some of the contributors or the main people themselves? Because when you got that many cooks, the broth can get spoiled.
I think in the beginning, there was some, who do you think you are type of thing? Like, this is my bitch or something like that. But
right.
I think overall, I've won them over. I mean, Sauce thinks everybody, like if we give a caller, which you never take calls, but we give a caller like 30 seconds on there, he thinks that the caller is going to take his job. He's always been
right.
Super paranoid, which.
Well, he should obviously. Be. Have you listened to him? I mean, his contributions are slim to none, really. So he's concerned.
But yeah, I don't think Corey's losing any sleep. I don't think Hawk losing any sleep.
No.
Nor they should. But yeah.
How about amongst the contributors? Though, do you sense any? Because I could see where maybe they're going back and forth. Like I'll admit it, when we're doing Program Password, Marnie mm-hmm. and Lil B are. And they're yucking it up, and they're saying all the funny lines, and I'm overstuck over here going, maybe I'm really not as entertaining as I thought. You start to wonder, is it the beginning or the middle of the end?
I think, and I could be completely off base, I did sense a little bit of that with Tommy Olsen on Thursdays, because he was the younger guy, and so I was, the even younger guy coming in.
Right,
or whatever. But well,
Tommy's wacky.
That was, way in the beginning.
Sure.
And now I Tommy's great. I love Tommy. And
right.
I think
the feeling's mutual.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. So, and he's great. So it was a little weird. I would say a couple years ago, and kind of finding my place in it. But
well, I'm glad you found
pretty good.
I'm glad you found a place. I really am.
Yeah.
And you see these emails, and it warms the cockles of my heart because it makes me realize that people do like us, and when you're given an opportunity like that. Because let's face it, there were a lot of people around here. Maybe I shouldn't be saying this. They didn't think you had a chance, and I was sticking up for you. I was the guy that said, Halvey has got a chance to be a star in this radio station. I was in your corner from the beginning. Just always remember that I was there for you while other people were ripping you. Oh, they've come around now. Isn't that funny? You know, see a little success and see maybe he does have it. You know, oh, no, I was always on a side. Oh, no, you didn't always see it. Don't pretend you did.
You were by far the person that gave me the most mic time anywhere. I mean, I barely got to read the vibes on Barrero's show for the first couple years.
That is
so
correct. That's because
I do appreciate it.
I saw something in you.
You did.
It took a microscope, a periscope, and a horoscope to see it, but I did. Do you have a keyword for us, by the way?
I
bet you do.
I do. The fan and the St. Paul Saints are giving you a shot to put a grand in your hand with our national cash contest. All you got to do is text the keyword WIN. That's WIN to 200-200. Standard text message and data rates apply.
Hey, I've got something for you. The Cars for Kids, 877.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Minnesota Vikings training camp kicks off Wednesday, July 28th. There are 14 practices open to fans. You can find ticket information at Vikings.com/training camp. The fans' coverage of Vikings training camp is presented by Minnesota Lottery. Get pumped. It's game time.
Told a 50-year title drought came to an end last night in Milwaukee, the Bucks, the Deer District, 4-2 over the Phoenix Suns. It's the first time Milwaukee has won an NBA championship since the days of Lew Alcindor, a.k.a. Hakeem Olajuwon, and Oscar Robertson, the Big O, they called him. The Big O, I think his career, he averaged a triple-double. Is that right or am I crazy? Was that just for a season? I thought his career, he averaged a triple-double. That's how good he was and how much he dominated his sport. I work at the all-sports radio station. I'm not Ben Mahler or Paul Allen. I get it. I should be. I would probably be thunked upon as in the same, you know, pantheon. Those guys are, they're idolized and pedestalized in sports talk shows. Have they always been the Milwaukee Bucks? And have they actually been around that long? It seems like some of these cities will have a team and then they leave. It happened, you know, with us, with the North Star. Seattle had the Pilot baseball team. I think it was Ottawa or one of those Canadian teams lost a club for a while. Montreal Expos, baseball team gone. Always been the Milwaukee Bucks. Hadn't won in 50 years. The story is so eerily similar to here, it seems like it should have been Milwaukee, Minnesota, because the same thing has happened here. Our last title was 1991. Obviously, that was more recent than Milwaukee's 50-year absence, but that's the only pro team they have. They used to share the Packers until I don't know who made the decision. If I live in Milwaukee, I would never root for Green Bay. Oh, we're taking your two games from you. And we're going to play him at Lambeau. They used to share you. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Two games a year were played in Milwaukee.
I did a tour of Lambeau Field a few weeks ago, and they were talking about that, how in 95 they decided that they it wasn't, you know, financially, it didn't make financial sense anymore to give Milwaukee any more games because they were making so much money up in Green Bay.
All about the money.
They weren't threatened anymore about an expansion team or anything.
Funny. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Turned their back on those fans in Milwaukee.
Which I guess they're fans that had tickets in Milwaukee got to keep their season tickets.
Right. And that kind that of
up in there, but yeah. Here's a 3-hour drive for you to make too.
Yeah. Well, not just the drive, just the idea that we don't want to play in Milwaukee anymore. We don't think enough of your city. When you took that tour, did you urinate in one of the sinks in the bathroom? Because I've done that before at Lambeau Field. You ever done that? You've not been to Lambeau Field until you've urinated in the sinks. Well, because they have, you know, the stadium was built in 19, it was opened in 1957. So it was built for, you know, like they weren't Taj Mahals like they are now. So the restrooms would get so crowded, like at halftime and before the game, that people are lined up for the urinals and they just said, I'm not waiting anymore. So they would just urinate in the sinks. Mm. Harder for somebody like me who's 5'7", right?
No!
A little more difficult to, I just stand on my tippy toes. But, yeah. Did you like your tour?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. They had a part of it where you sit in the stands and you yell "Go Pack, go!" across the stadium, and
they didn't make you do that. They treat you like you're kindergarten?
I didn't do it. Okay, like four other there was a family from Seattle that didn't do it, but the rest. There was a Minnesota family, and I don't know who they were, but they said they were Vikings fans, and they did it. And I was like, "What are you doing? What are you doing with your life?"
Did the loudspeaker have the dent, dent, da 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 dent, or did they just say?
No, it's just, it was the fact that it was an empty stadium, so right. When you yelled, it like echoed off the other side of the stadium and it came back. So it did sound kind of cool.
Right.
But I'm not sure.
How many people were in this tour?
In our own group, which they have multiple, I mean, it's amazing how many tours that they have. And I thought when I.
Cash registers ringing in.
Oh, yeah. And they're not cheap. They were like $36 or something like that for a 2-hour tour.
You couldn't pay me $36 bucks to take the tour, but that's just me.
Yeah. It was
dumb, but. So 36, how many were in your group then?
It was just my buddy, Chad and I. So, and then, but we had, I had other people. I guess it was probably upwards of 30-ish people and just our tour. And they did it in like every 15 to 30 minutes throughout the day. So
enough to field a taxi squad. Sounds like to me. I've talked about Lambeau before. I've been there on a couple of occasions. I kind of put it in the same categories, Fenway and Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, they're incredible. But once you get over that part, now I know Green Bay's done some renovations because I've since been there. Badger Bob, my dear friend Badger Bob, Deuce had never been to Lambeau Field. And I said, well, we have to go. So we went to see them. It was the winter before the pandemic, I believe. It was the last game of the season. Green Bay was woefully out of the, believe it or not, Green Bay was not eligible for postseason play, nor were the Purple or the Kitties. And Badger Bob's buddy had really nice seats, you know, in that second level where you have access to, you walk inside, it's got the couches and the chairs and the bars, kind of like what they do at TCF Bank Stadium, the newer stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium. So it's really nice. We're able to sit in the nice hardback chairs, not the metal benches. Then we could go inside, get something to drink, get something to eat. The renovations make it a much better stadium. But when I had first gone there, it was just the John Deere tractor, just the sheet metal with the metal benches. And after you got over, I mean, because it is, when you walk in, you kind of go, wow. That's where Bart Starr plunged over from the 1-yard line in the Ice Bowl. And the Packers were champions again, right? And you think of all the great players that have played there, and, you know, Bart Starr, Dowler, Nitschke, the list goes, you know, Horning and Taylor. But then when you sit down on the metal bench and you look around and you go, this is an awful place to watch a game. I don't have a seat back. The bench is uncomfortable. It was made for 13, 14 people when they were weighing 157 pounds back in 1957. Now everybody weighs 250. And I'm squeezed in here. Then the concourses are narrow. There's not enough concession stands. The bathrooms are tiny. And you just go, well, this is awful. What a terrible. So it's cool when you first go. The same with Fenway. I did the same thing when I went to Fenway. Sat down, Hartman and I, we go to watch Pedro against Clemens in the playoffs. Yankees, Red Sox. Clemens, you know, it was his return to Fenway. He used to pitch for, it had all the theater in the world. And I've told this story before. That's where Hartman and I at the tap, the two people, there were two people sitting in our seats, right? Sid had got him through George Steinbrenner, right?
Excuse us, you're in your seats. You're in our seats. Oh, we're sorry. They had just been in the wrong section, right? They had the same row, same seats. You know who it was? Joe Torre's wife and daughter. We had to tell them you're in our seat. And I'm sitting there after I'm going, this is a, it's, there's the monster and it's cool, but this chair is cramped. I have no leg room. And the bathrooms, you know, you could disinfect them from now until the end of time, and they would still have that rancid restroom smell. You know? Ugh, just, it's like, I've seen it once. That's it for me. But they love to tell you, the fans love to tell you about the charm of it because that's all they have. So they've convinced themselves that this is really charming. I guess the taxpayers have saved some money because they didn't have to help build a stadium, but it doesn't do a lot for me. I want to talk a little bit about the Bucs. I wonder what, I know the prevailing wisdom, I don't know if you've heard it today or seen it on Twitter or online about, you know, if Milwaukee can do it, we can do it here in Minnesota too. I'll say not so fast, but we'll talk a little bit about that. Other side of the break, Common Man Program with Common, Zach Halberzen in for Tana B, and then Mark Rosen joins us at 2 on The Fan.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
FAN.
Register to win a pair of tickets to see stand-up comedian Gabriel Iglesias at Treasure Island Casino on July 31st. Go to KFAN.com, keyword contest.
This is so good.
I've been lied to. I don't know why. I let that mean woman make me a fool.
She made him a fool. She took all of his dough.
Took all my money.
What else did you do? New car.
Now she's with one of my good time buddies. She's drinking in some crosstown bar.
They don't write it like this anymore. Listen to the guitar.
Play ball. Get your death.
Like I'm dying.
So I've been encouraged by a number of listeners, maybe even a couple of 13, 14, to issue Giannis. Can you pronounce his last name? I'll never be able to pronounce it. No matter how many times I could sit and practice it, I could never. My boy knows how. Baby brother Peter.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, you slowed that down. Did you slow that down?
Yeah.
Could you slow it down even more?
No, that's slow.
Okay, do it one more time.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo. You ever do that trying to, if you're trying to remember a telephone number,
mm-hmm.
you go in your head, you know, 612-989-5326, 612 mm-hmm. or 6519, and you go, and then you start dialing it and you go, I forgot it. Yeah, they got it wrong, right? Which is why you should always carry a pen and a piece of paper. Give me a pen that works. What's the name of the place again? And so people have suggested that I issue an apology, do a Common Man apology segment, because I basically said he was overrated. And I would say, no, I will conduct an apology segment calling Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's all, folks. Calling him overrated as soon as my youngest son issues me the apology for telling me he was overrated. Pete's whole take was, well, no, he's a great athlete. He's not a great basketball player. He just drives to the hole and slams dunks. He can't make free throws. He's a freakish athlete. Well, I think he's more than that. He had one of the greatest NBA finals ever in the history of the game. There have been a lot of great finals performances. MJ, Dr. J, MJ, Dr. J, Kobe, Bird, McHale, Magic, right? Mm-hmm. I'm leaving people out. Tim Duncan, the Admiral. David Robinson, the big fundamental. Hakeem Olajuwon. I'm sure Shaq, Diesel O'Neal, Lou Alcindor, James Worthy. Great performances. He's in that pantheon of people. Last night he scored 50 points. Is that right? I didn't see a second of it.
Yeah, I also missed it, but 50 points, 14 rebounds, 5 block shots.
What were you doing? Were you sorting socks? Were you watching paint dry, or were you waiting for the boiling hot vat of asphalt?
I was juggling all three at the same time.
Yeah, and it can be difficult to do. You're right, yeah. 50 points, 14 boards, 5 block shots. Bucks beat the Suns 105-98 Tuesday night, 4-2. I think I also saw did I read that right? It's only the fifth time. The Bucks become the fifth team to win the NBA Finals after trailing 2-0. And the first to do it by winning the next 4 games since Miami against Dallas in 2006. And that's why my apology should be to the entire Bucks organization and the team, because and the Deer District. Because I did this, I thought I was, Tennessee said I was brilliant and I was a genius. It was the esoteric approach when I said, the reason Phoenix will win this is because Chris Paul in his 11th NBA season, that I got ripped for that because, how can you host a sports talk show if you don't know how many years he's been in the league? I don't know. I haven't been paying attention. 16 years. Never been to a finals. Never been to the finals. Forget winning. Never been to one. And he was brilliant in the first 2 games, as were the Suns in general. And my whole esoteric approach was, and I'm really not wrong, it's just they couldn't seal the deal. And Giannis and Middleton and some of the rest, you know, they have some nice pieces. And they play defense, what I'm told, in Milwaukee. They understand that's part of the game. Mm. Play better when you have defense. But that they were just better. Giannis was brilliant. He was just, he's that good. And that his will to win, I don't know if it was the will to win that did it, but, you know, that's what I thought Chris Paul would do, is that Chris Paul was at a point in his career where he's one of those. You know, I don't know where to rank him. I don't know if I've ever watched him play basketball, but I do know that I recognize the name. I know he's had a lot of success. You know, is he Jordan like or Black Mamba like? No, he's probably not even Durantula and who are the other the Splash Brothers. I don't know where he ranks with all those people, but I know he's a very talented player. He's a very gifted player, and those guys. When you got the wine, the women, and the song, the one thing you want is the ring. That ring I never won. I got the money like the ring I never won. You familiar with Post Malone?
Yeah, of course.
Have you ever heard the song White Iverson?
No, I've not, actually.
Oh!
I do like a little bit, but not. I'm not as hip and down with it as you are. Apparently.
I need that ring like that. I need money like the ring I never won. I won. Oh, it's brilliant, simply brilliant. And did Iverson ever win a world title? I don't think he ever did. So think of all the great players that have never won a world title, and so you want one. And I thought, well, his will to win, he's now finally got that chance. He will not be denied, but he was. And right. I mean, these numbers are just astonishing. He was 16 for 25 from the field. And think about this. He made 17 of 19 free throws. And part of the rap on him was, we can't make a free throw. I don't know if he was Shaq Diesel O'Neal-like in his inability, his futility for making free throws, but my word, NBA play. One of my favorite, I'm not a heckler, but one of my favorite heckles would be if you're sitting courtside and a guy misses another free throw, go, they're called free throws for a reason. They're free. Because I can't believe they can't make those free throws. He goes 7 for 19. As a matter of fact, he addressed that last night. He said, people told me I can't make free throws. Well, look at me now. Look at me now. He didn't say the look at me now part. But he said, I just want to say, Dan Cole, you doubted me, but now I'm here. He could have said that. I did doubt him, much like A.J. Pierzynski did. People told me I can't make free throws, and I made them tonight, and I'm a freaking champion. And he is. I think I was told he took a subtle jab at the Durantulas and the LeBrons of the world by saying, we didn't have to, and I don't know if you saw the quote or heard that. I'm paraphrasing it from just what somebody told me, so I don't even know if this is accurate, but I'm going with it anyways. But he basically said, we didn't need to put no super team together, you know, go move here, move there, get together. I can't win one on my own, so guess what? I'm going to go join people. That's what LeBron did. I can't win one on my own, so I'm going to take my talents down to Miami. And he did, and he won, and LeBron's great and all that, and so are, Dwayne Bosh and Wade? No. Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, the three of them got together, and they won their title. That's what they're trying to do over Brooklyn. That's the other thing, too. You know, people say, well, they did it in Milwaukee. It can happen in Minnesota. Well, you know, maybe, okay, but does Milwaukee win if... And we'll never know. This is a question that can never be answered. If Durantula, Kyrie, and Harden all stay healthy and play the other, does Milwaukee get out of the East? I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe Giannis and Middleton and the rest would be able to do that. I'd have put my money on the Nets myself. Didn't LeBron and what's the other guy? Davis? What's his first name? I think they had injury issues. I think Davis missed a lot of it. Wasn't he out for the year at the end? Or was it LeBron that was out at the end? I don't remember. But my point is, they had injury issues there as well. And if those guys did, now it's part of the game. I'm not saying, well, they would never have won had they done. Well, injuries happen. And they could very well have. But I don't know if Phoenix gets out of the West if the Lakers stay healthy. So, but it is a heck of an accomplishment, you know, especially for a city like Milwaukee, where you only, as far as I know, I mean, they may have a soccer team, they may have a WNBA team, but I'm talking about the major four men's sports. That's the only one they have, right? Because the Packers, the Packer organization decided to take two lousy games. It's sad. If I lived in Milwaukee, I would never pull for the Packers. I'd start rooting for the Bears.
Or rooting for your own team to come.
Bears are closer.
Yeah.
But isn't that their only pro team? Oh, yeah. The Brewers. I'm sorry. They got the Brewers, too. Brewers did win. And the Brewers won it in 80, didn't they win in 84? Harvey Wall. Look, let me see if I'm right. I think Harvey's Wallbangers was the nickname of the club because they were the precursor to the Bomba Squad.
82.
82?
Yep. Oh, wait, hold on.
I thought it was 84. No, 84 was Tiger. They never won it. Did they get to the World Series though?
They had a pennant in 82, but that was
okay.
That was it.
Who did they lose to?
Let's see here.
This is what I. By the way, just if you're wondering, Zach, this is what the after effects are when you live your formative years, on the corner of Haight and Ashbury, where I was. I blame the whole multicolored galaxy of uppers and downers and screamers and laughers that I partook in all those years ago. So I can't remember these things.
They lost the Cardinals. The
Cards.
82.
Yeah. Harvey's Wallbangers. So, hey, championship for them. You know, and again, Rosen talked about it yesterday. You know, because you're from Minnesota, you're not supposed to root for anything Wisconsin related, and I generally don't. Bucky Badger does nothing for me. The Packers, it's a cliche, but you've heard it before. What's your favorite team? The Vikings and anybody who's playing Green Bay, and that's true. But I harbor no. Matter of fact, I feel bad for Milwaukee that the Packers were. Of course, maybe I should feel good that they don't have to associate themselves with them anymore. But that they those two games were taken from Milwaukee County, so good for them. And doesn't mean we could do it here. I guess, but we don't have anybody close to Giannis. And I do apologize for I didn't. I was going by, my boy knows hoops too. I've been giving him a hard time ever since about, thanks a lot for steering me wrong about that. So, who's beautiful child growing up free and wild. We'll break. We'll come back. You have a 5-3-4 for us, right?
Yeah, Rosie, Meat Sauce, Common, all great nicknames. Let's talk about some more nicknames when we come back.
We'll do it.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
The Fan.
And now the end is near, and so I face.
Do you know something I don't?
The final curtain.
My is this friend, the end of the end of the end, finally?
I'll say it clear.
You know, that wouldn't be nice if you knew I was being let go. And then you're going to go play. I did it my way, the end of the end. You're coming to get let go at the end of the show. Won't that be funny? You'd yuck it up on the morning show the next day, wouldn't you guys?
It wouldn't happen on a Wednesday.
Yeah, you're right. Well, of course, I'm leaving tomorrow.
Oh.
See? So even though it's Wednesday, it's actually Friday.
That's true.
Maybe they'll go like, did you make that flight one way? I did it. By the way, Oscar Robertson was I think the first player ever to triple double for a year.
Oh wow,
a triple. No, triple double for a year, not for the whole career. See how crazy I am. I'm also told that it's Common. Let's not forget the Bucks had 2-year starter out since the first game against Miami. DiVincenzo tore a tendon in his foot. He averaged 10 points per game. One of the better guard defenders in the league, and his tops and rebounds per game for a guard. They missed him a ton. They only had one point guard, and that was Doc Holliday, since DiVincenzo was hurt. But that's never talked about for some reason. I mean, it's an accomplishment. And I don't care. Too bad Brooklyn didn't stay healthy, but... Yeah, the Greek Freak is, I apologize, he's something. So they win 4-2. Time for 5-3-4 now.
Time now for 5 questions. Well, actually 3, but 5 sounds like more than 4. Brought to you by Casey's General Store. Casey's here for good. Question number 1.
Common, the much-anticipated fight between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder was originally scheduled for this Saturday, but had to be postponed due to Tyson Fury testing positive for COVID. So we'll have to wait to see a potentially great fight. Common, what's the best boxing match you've ever seen?
Are you talking in person or just on?
We'll go in person, because you've been to a few in person. We talked to about one yesterday.
Yeah,
yesterday.
Well... Matt. You know, that's hard to narrow down. I mean, because it depends when you say, like, most competitive, best fight as far as from an art form or excitement level. When I went, you know, I was the late Scotty and I, Scotty Ledoux and I used to text and talk more than most people know. It really had nothing to do with him being lonely. We just became pals because I followed his career from, I saw the first fight I saw Scott participate in was on national television against Ron Lyle, the Denver Destroyer from in Las Vegas. I think it was at the Pavilion in Las Vegas at Caesars. And it was a 10-round split decision, and Scott lost. And it wasn't an artful fight, but they went toe-to-toe, and it was terrific. Then I was a boxing fan at the time, and I had not heard of Scott Ledoux until that fight. He's Scott Ledoux from Minneapolis. And so we started to follow, I would say we, myself, my brother, and a couple of our running buddies, Haight Ashbury guys. So we, and then Ledoux brought big-time prize fighting to the Twin Cities. He had four nationally televised fights here in Minneapolis against Kenny Norton, Mike Hercules Weaver, Marty Monroe, and then the World Heavyweight Championship against Larry Holmes. And we went to the Norton-Ledoux fight, which ended in a draw, and Scott was getting, he was behind in all the cards through seven rounds, came back in the eighth, knocked Norton down, I think, in the ninth, and then again in the tenth, and the place was just, I mean, when the bell, it was so loud in the stands from the people cheering Ledoux on as he's teeing off on Norton. Norton's in big trouble, right? They're thinking Scott's going to knock him out. And the referee jumps between Norton and Ledoux, and people thought the ref was stopping the fight. Ledoux did, too. He raised his hands. It looked like it was over. The bell had rung. You just couldn't hear it because it was so loud. So it was the end of the fight. It ends up being a draw. You could make a case for either fighter, I think. And so that, for excitement level, I mean, I had goosebumps. I mean, it was incredible. So that was, as far as attending a fight, I've seen some awfully good fights with Truax. I've watched him fight here in the Twin Cities dozens of times. He's been involved in a lot of really good classic fights. Bonsante Vanda was a big buildup for that. So local, there have been a lot of good local fights over the years. As far as, and then, you know, if you talk about what I've watched on just on film, there's several Ali fights that would qualify. But, you know, what I watched, you know, live when I was kind of understood the game, it's just Hagler Hearns, Duran Leonard 1 and 2. There's so many. It's hard to pinpoint. The Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, the last fight was, that Fury guy, the Gypsy King, he's nuts. He had said once, did you know about this, about where he said he wanted to taste his opponent's blood?
No.
And, oh, look at the video. He's got Deontay Wilder bleeding bad, and he's got him up against the ropes, and he sticks his tongue out, and he licks Deontay Wilder's blood off his shoulder.
Wow. Yuck.
Yeah, well, not just yuck, but just how
crazy do you? I mean, you have to be crazy to go into the ring like that
to begin with. But then you've decided you want to taste an opponent's blood, and you get the opportunity to, and you did.
I suppose
I looked at it. I didn't even know what to think. I've seen a lot of crazy stuff in the ring. I saw Holyfield get a chunk of his ear bit off by Tyson. I saw the No Mas fight when Duran just quit in the middle. I saw hang glider guy. You know, hang glider guy crashed into the ring. I've seen decisions that you just are mind-blowing how you actually think the judge who scored the fight for whoever he or she thought won, you thought their seeing eye dog had to decipher their scorecard. They had to be blind, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'd never seen anything like that in a prize fight before. And I said, he's crazy. You do not want to climb into the ring with him. I'm looking forward to the rematch, though. I'd like to see the fight. I would probably, just because the Fury guy's crazy, I'd bet on him. But, you know, Wilder had him down twice in their first fight. So Wilder can punch. It should be fun. It's be high drama. But those are just some of the fights. It's hard to narrow down what I thought was the greatest fight. But, I've seen a lot of good ones over the years.
So if I were to put, a little bit of my winnings next week on either or, who would you suggest I go for?
I think I'd bet on Fury.
Fury?
Though, You know, here's the thing about prize fighting. That does Fury get fat and happy?
True.
Right? Like, go back to Leonard Durant. When they first fought, Leonard handpicked Durant because there was Hearns and Hagler and other fighters. He wanted to fight Durant. And he ended up fighting Durant's. It was a super fight. We went, this is how it was back then. You didn't just pay-per-view it on TV. You had to actually go down to the Metropolitan Sports Center, which no longer exists, the hockey arena, buy a ticket and sit in the stands. And they had three massive television screens, like mini drive-in movie theater screens, and wait for them to show it on there. They had three all right next to each other to make sure everybody could get a view. And back then, this is how archaic the technology was. You'd be waiting for the guy who's, he's up on the roof, I'm assuming, with a satellite dish spinning it around, trying to hook it up. Because all of a sudden, you're seeing nothing but whatever's on the, I don't know what's on the screen, it's colored bars, right? You're not seeing, then all of a sudden you see it start to, it starts wiggling or jiggling, whatever, like Lava Bloom Gal. And all of a sudden everybody in the crowd is going, yeah. Then all of a sudden the fight pops on. You know, it's a preliminary fight. It's Dusty Trunks against Willie Get Up. And the people are on their feet going, yeah! We've got the fight. We're going to get to see it, right? Mm-hmm. And then you watch that on closed circuit TV. So everybody, I wish I knew the attendance. I don't know if it can be found. I think the place was packed to see Leonard versus Durant, right? The first fight. The brawl in Montreal, because they fought in Montreal, Canada. So they called it the brawl in Montreal. And that's where Durant got in Leonard's head. The stories are is that Durant had somebody from his camp stake out the hotel, and when Leonard's wife Juanita would leave, he would say unsavory things towards her, and Leonard got pissed. And so he went into the ring and abandoned his strategy. Leonard was a stick and move. I mean, Leonard would go toe-to-toe with you, but he also would counterpunch. He depended. That's why he was so good, because he would decide whoever his opponent was, that's the type of fight he would fight. A guy like Mayweather, who was a great counterpuncher and good defensively, he just fought the same way every single time. And it worked well for him. He ended up 50-0, right? But Leonard would, depending upon who the fighter was, he would change his stuff. But he made the mistake. He got goaded. Durant tricked him. He decided he wanted to take it out on Durant for what he did to his wife. And so he went toe-to-toe, and he lost the decision. And Durant was welcomed back to Panama like he was a conquering hero. I mean, it was, you see the footage of it. He gets off the plane and there are literally hundreds of thousands of people to greet him there. And he was the cat's meow, right? Mm-hmm. So Leonard had, you know, they each had a rematch clause in there, and he invoked it right away. 6 months later, he fought him. He changed his style. And that was the famous No Mas fight, where Leonard just started sticking and moving and mugging for him, you know, like this, and, you know, dropping his hands like this and you know, moving back and forth and, you know, putting his face out there for Durant to hit, and Durant would try to hit him and Leonard would jump back. And then it was finally what happens. He did the old, he's winding up with his right hand in a circular motion, like him with a big uppercut, and Durant's kind of look at him. Then all of a sudden Leonard just pops out a jab and hits him right in the face. And Durant was embarrassed. And he claims he was just, this guy doesn't want to fight. He's clowning around. And that's when Durant looked at Leonard and went, and he just gave him the hand and walked away. And Leonard's stunned. He doesn't know what's going on. The ref's going, what are you doing? He goes, I quit. No mas. That's the famous no more. And then Leonard won. Wow. That was, why were we talking about this?
I asked about the Fury Wilder fight.
So my point is, you looked at that rematch. I'm thinking, well, Durant's going to do the same thing. He's gonna take Leonard. He's gonna go toe to toe. He's more physical. He's tougher. He's a little grittier, sure. And he's gonna win the fight that way. And then now all of a sudden the fight completely changes. So I think Durant also came in kind of taking Leonard a bit more lightly. Beat him once. I'm gonna do the same thing to him again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe Fury thinks. I mean, same thing where Fury got knocked down twice in the first fight, and all of a sudden he saw a different Wilder saw a different Tyson Fury in the next fight, seventh round TKO, right?
Right.
So I don't know what to expect. I would still right now put my money on Fury because he likes the taste of blood. I'd bet on blood, a bloodsucker guy than I would on the other guy going, you know what, I really need to avenge this loss. You know, because right away after the fight, what's-his-face was, Wilder was making excuses. My legs were, did you see when they came into the ring? It's just crazy. Fury comes in. You know those Cleopatra little chariot things where they're in a little, it's like a,
yeah.
It's like a, what do they use? The hospital. What am I thinking?
Walker?
No. Okay. Like if you have a sick patient and it's got two, like a hammock almost, right?
Sure.
And the people are carrying them.
Oh, yes.
What the hell is like that called?
Backboard, stretcher.
Yeah, like a stretcher,
that.
Right? Yeah. A stretcher is what it is, right?
Yeah.
And, but it's got a big, like a big bamboo
yeah.
cabin, like a, and he's sitting there like a king and he's got four people that carry him into the ring. And then Wilder comes in, he's wearing some kind of a costume. He looks like something from Star Wars, right? Lights are blinking on and stuff, and he takes a long walk in. Well, apparently the costume weighed like 40 pounds, so he claims, and that by the time he put it on and then walked from the locker room into the ring, he was exhausted. His legs were gone. Now, let's even give him the benefit of the doubt and say that happened.
Yeah.
Well, how dopey are you? Didn't you think about that?
Yeah.
So he claims, well, I lost my legs. I was exhausted by the time the fight started. You know, that's just an excuse. So, and they don't like each other much. So it's I'd still bet Tyson Fury, the Gypsy King.
Question number two.
Common in February, Tom Terrific won another big game MVP. Then a couple of weeks ago, the big cat, Andre Vasilevsky, won the Conn Smythe Trophy. And last night, the Greek Freak won the NBA Finals MVP. Which of those nicknames do you like the best? And who has the best sports nickname of all time?
Greek Freak.
Yes.
Tom Terrific.
Yes.
Tom Terrific was actually Tom Seaver, I think.
Tom Seaver?
He was the first one.
Okay.
Tom Terrific. But that's okay. And then what was the other one?
The Big Cat. Or Andre Vasilevsky.
I guess I like Greek Freak, but it's not the very best of all time. I've stated this before. It's boxing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know why I like it, because I don't even know what it means. Well, there was two Philadelphia fighters, Willie the Worm Monroe. And I think they called him the Worm because, you know, like if you take a worm and you throw it, pull it out of the dirt, and you throw it on a sidewalk, it'll kind of be moving around in all different directions. Do you also know if you cut a worm in half, you have two worms? Anyway, so I think that's why they called him Willie the Worm.
Wow.
I think. I could just be making that up. I lie for a living, but I'm honest. But the other one in the Philadelphia Fire was Bobby Boogaloo Watts. Boogaloo. B-O-G. B-O-O-G. Boog-A-L-O-O. Boogaloo Watts, and I don't know why. Boxing had the greatest nicknames. Tony Two-Ton Galento. You know why they called him Two-Ton? Well, he was big and rotund, but they called him Two-Ton because, see, back in the day, well, it still exists in boxing. There are still prize fighters that are climbing the ladder, trying to win a world championship, that have to have a day job. And Two-Ton Tony Galento delivered ice. Because back then, you know, freezers, like, you know, you had to put ice in them. There was no freezers, I guess. I don't know. I could be making that up too. But he was Two-Ton Tony Galento. He was the one that famously said when he talked about fighting Joe Louis, he goes, "I'm going to moita the bum." Of course, he got destroyed, but boxing had the best nicknames. They always have and always will. But yeah, Bobby Boogaloo. And then for basketball, my favorite is Big Baby Davis. As a matter of fact, that's who I was thinking about in Los Angeles. The,
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Big Baby Davis is his nickname.
Yeah.
Big Baby Davis. So there you go.
Love it.
And that's it for today's edition of Five Questions. Well, actually, three questions, but five sounds like more than four.
Controversial Vikings news. Twins talker or two as well. And there was something else, maybe it was the Jimmy Johnson news conference I wanted to get to. But I think you have a keyword for us, correct?
Yeah, I do, Tom, and the fan and the St. Paul Saints are giving you a shot to put a grand in your hand with our national cash contest. The keyword this hour is Bills. That's Bills. Text the keyword Bills to 200-200 to enter. Standard text message and data rates apply.
Common Man here. Chances are when you turn the water on in your home to shower or wash your hands or get a drink of water.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
KFAN.
Who brings a taco to a fried chicken sandwich war? Taco John's. That is who. Register for your shot to win a swag box from Taco John's, including a $50 gift card, beach towel, Dr. Pepper cooler, and more. Just go over to KFAN.com and make the keyword contest.
Nobody on the road. Nobody on the beach. I feel it in the air. The sun was out of reach. Empty lake, empty streets. The sun goes.
So, someone's emailed to say the name of that chair thing that Tyson Fury was in is called a litter, L-I-T-T-E-R. I thought that's what they called a bunch of puppies. I thought that was a litter of, litter of puppies. Can you look up litter and see if I'm being, maybe I'm being given a bum steer, but I don't think so. And while you look that up, I wanted to,
litter.
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 Well, okay, let's see here. So, number two.
Litter is garbage.
Noun. The group of young animals born to an animal at one time.
Right. And then I bet the first definition of litter is what Meat Sauce does on the airwaves every day. He litters the airwaves. Okay?
Yes.
That's right. That would be definition one. Litter, number two, is animals born in the same a batch. And does it give the definition of...
Number five, a vehicle containing a bed or seat enclosed by curtains and carried on men's shoulders or by animals.
Yes, that's it. That's what Tyson Fury came in. He came in
litter. Litter.
In a litter.
Litter.
You just can't... You know, and which is, again, I get it. It's the pomp and the circumstances, what the kids want now. You watch any of the old fights, the best is there's the ring. You know, it's all black and white, right? And then it's just time to fight, and the guy comes out of the locker room, and he might have his hands on the shoulders of one of his handlers that's in front of him, and he's just got the robe on, and they just come into the ring. There's no music. There's no, what's your walk-up music? And what's your ring entrance music? And I'm not even against that. It's a different age now, right, with special effects and audio and video. You see it over at, there's another fight coming to the Armory, too. I don't have the press release in front of me. But it's two top welterweight contenders are fighting for, I think it's Jamal James, the Minneapolis kid. I think it's his old title because I think he got elevated. He like had the interim WBA welterweight title. Then something happened to somewhere else and they said, well, no, you're too good. We're giving you that one that's up above that because the other guy got stripped. And we'll let these two guys fight for it. You know how boxing is. I think that's how it goes, but I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But these two guys are going to fight at the Armory on August.
Is it Crowley and...
That's
Maester?
Yes, that's it. And when is it set for?
August 7th.
August 7th. Saturday night, right? Or is it Sunday?
Saturday, yep.
Saturday night at the Armory. And does it say they're fighting for the WBA interim regular?
WBA World Welterweight Championship. The interim. WBA.
And then I think what will happen is the winner, this is my guess, I don't know this, but I think the winner will then fight Shango at the Armory. So, same thing at the Armory. They come in, you know. Matter of fact, sometimes, as a matter of fact, the last fight at the Armory was the David Morrell kid, who was from Cuba. Now he fights out of Circle of Discipline in Minneapolis. He's a gym mate of Shango's, right? So his opponent's a guy from Mexico. He comes in, he's wearing a sombrero, I think, and he's got the Mexican music playing. His intro was longer than how long he lasted in the ring. It took like 5 minutes to get in the ring, and he got stopped in the first round before the three-minute mark. Well, that's what they do. They come into the music. People love it. It gets them fired up, and it's great. And if the fighter likes it, but that's not the way it was in the old days. They just come into the ring, you know. But anyway, I saw this in the Fish Wrap Factory West Side. It's those annual preseason. You're starting to see them now. Annual preseason. College football polls, right? Because everybody's got to have a football poll, got to know who's ranked best. You know, you end up proving it on the field, but before you prove it on the field, you got to prove it in the polls. And the Fish Wrap Factory West Side did a piece today about the annual preseason poll by Cleveland.com. And I don't know why maybe that's the first one out, but Cleveland.com, Ohio State garnered all 34 first-place votes to win both the Big Ten's East Division title and win the conference championship game. They are considered, they are the unanimous pick to win their fifth Big Ten football championship in a row. This is by media members who cover the conference. So I would suppose maybe right here in town, we have a couple of people that probably voted. Ohio State garnered all 34 first-place votes to win both the Big Ten's East Division title and win the conference championship game. Wisconsin was the pick of 29 pollsters to win the West Division. Iowa received the other 5 first-place votes. The Gophers were picked to finish 4th in the West behind 3rd-place Northwestern. Voting based on 7 points for 1st, 1 for 7th in each division. Panel consists of at least 1 beat writer from all 14 Big Ten teams. And if you will cover the entire league or have a national perspective. And I bring this up only because I'm wondering what Gopher fans or Gopher observers think about that ranking to finish 4th in the West behind Northwestern. That would mean in the Big Ten, they feel there's at least there's at least 7 better teams, right? Well, maybe not. Maybe they think if you were in the East, you might be higher. Maybe I don't think they would, because I think the East would have, or do they? I don't know. I would think Michigan, right? I don't know. I'm not paying as close attention to Big Ten football as I want. I stopped paying attention to Big Ten football when they call it the Big Ten and there's 14 teams. Do you think you might be able to get recognized for your football abilities and maybe, you know, get drafted in the NFL, but you're going to get an awful education in the Big Ten, right? I mean, they can't even count how many team schools are in the conference. We're the Big Ten. No, you're not. You're 14. 1, 2, 3. Why not change it to the Big 14? No, it's tradition. It's the Big Ten. Well, tradition went out the window a long time ago.
Then they turn it into, like, they're like, okay, now it's the B1G or something like that, which I don't get that.
Yeah.
That's how they abbreviate it as the B1G.
The B1G.
Yeah.
The B1G.
Whatever that means.
I don't know what it means either. So, I think that might be just the way the logo looks, but then, you know more than I do. Do you have a diploma? Did you graduate from college?
I got about 2 weeks in, and... decided that it wasn't for me.
That was it for you.
Yeah.
Where did you start going?
Century College.
Yeah.
So, I did a couple weeks there. I didn't like it. I ended up getting a job up in St. Cloud at a commercial radio station up there.
Okay.
So a lot of people think I went to like St. Cloud State. No.
Century.
My grades from high school probably wouldn't have got me into St. Cloud State even. So,
you know,
yeah.
You know, you might have had a whole different perspective if you would have set yourself free, got your degree at National American University.
I could have.
But you didn't.
No, in fact, that was one of the chants at like White Bear high school games back in the day. It was either or Hill Murray would chant it at us, would chant Century College or do the National American University chant.
Really?
So that was
Hill, private kids.
Oh, yeah.
Big money.
They're so smart.
Aren't they something over those private schools? I'm not anti-private school at all, but my boys, and look, you know, I ain't living check to check. I could have sent my kids to a private school. But I'm a public school education kind of a guy. I mean, it served me well. Well, there's that.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Oh, I'm wondering what Gopher fans think. Do they think that's too low, too high? It's like fourth? And then, is that acceptable? And again, it's just pollsters. It's just ink-stained wretches, beat writers, guys like you. Well, I think most of the beat writers did graduate from college with a degree in journalism. You have a high school diploma, don't you?
Barely, yes.
But you do have one.
It took me a couple extra weeks, but I got it. So.
Still better than I have to get the GED. It's called the Good Enough Diploma.
Right.
GED, Good Enough Diploma. What was I saying? Oh, is that acceptable? I mean, we're in year now. I know the joke. Year zero for, according to PJ. So,
sure.
But what year are we in with the Gophers now under PJ? Is this going into the fifth year or the fourth year? And forget the PJ, I get a mulligan on the first year. I'm talking about how many years has he been the head coach of the Minnesota Gophers?
Started in the year zero was the 2017 season.
2017.
20. So 17, 18, 19, 20. So this will be the
year five.
Fifth season, yeah.
Going into the fifth year, do you think that's acceptable? It's about where he should be. I mean, you got to give a guy time. Obviously, it's not often you're going to get a woebegone program like the Common Man program or the Minnesota Golden Gophers and turn it around in a year or two. It's hard to do that, especially in the beginning. You can do it at one of those smaller schools, like the Eastern Michigan, Western Michigan, Central Michigan, Northern Michigan, Southern Michigan, and Chattanooga State at the University of Michigan. But to do it in the Big Ten, it's really hard to just instantly turn things around. But I'm wondering, I'm negative. Trust me. I just think it should be a little further along in that, especially with all the bluster and all the row the boat, sky you ma, go Gophers, and what we do and where we've been and accountability and culture and this. I would think I'd like to be a little further along than that. But this Minnesota Golden Gopher football team could prove those pollsters wrong. Those media members who said they're only fourth in the West, maybe they'll prove them wrong. It'll be interesting to see. Speaking of that, it sounds like there's another college football coach whose ego's out of control. I didn't even know he was coaching college football until I stumbled upon the story. We'll talk about that next. This is the Common Man program right here, what we affectionately call FM 100.3, Da Fan.
Win a pair of tickets to see the Killers in concert on September 20th at the XL Energy Center. You can head to thekillersmusic.com for complete ticket information. You can register for your shot to win at KFAN.com, keyword contest.
Lose yourself in wild romance. We're going to party, caramba, fiesta, forever. Come on and sing along. We're going to party, caramba, fiesta, forever. Come on and
Trouble 13, 14 pass, Common Man program. Emails coming into the Bradshaw and Brian inbox on a wide variety of topics. Some on some of the issues we've discussed today, others just random off the beaten path. This one says, ask Zach about his high school grades. Power trip went through them and it was very funny. Now, only the power trip could go over your grades and make it like Seinfeld or one of the funny shows. I don't think I could pull that off, but your grades left a little bit to be desired, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I decided to get, I was able to easily obtain, way too easily obtain, Sauce's transcripts from his days.
Okay.
At Minnetonka. And then I felt, well, it was only fair if we found mine and went through those, and they were worse than I ever remembered. I don't think I got 1A. I maybe got a B. Can't remember though. And then multiple Fs and multiple different categories. And yeah, it was a brutal morning. Let's just say that.
Well, let me ask you this: were your poor grades because of a lack of effort?
Yes.
Inability to understand, not very bright, low IQ. I mean,
no,
I'm not ripping.
No.
Or is it because for me, I thought I was a relatively, I'm right with you and Sauce. We could be the Three Stooges. My grades, I think I have one of my report cards, a photocopy of it that then was put in my book. Did I tell you I wrote a book?
You wrote a book?
I wrote a book. It's called Being the Common Man. Speaking of PJ Fleck, remember that, I think it was ESPN or somebody did a Being PJ Fleck. What's it like? So I thought, well, that's the most preposterous thing I've ever heard. So then I was looking for a name for my book. My publisher and I had been thinking about it for weeks, and I finally said, I got it. She goes, what? And I go, Being the Common Man. The best of the lousiest, the best. Voila, now it's a bestseller. We've sold a fair number of books. Let's just say that. But
I still get one?
Sure. Just $25 is sure. All it costs. That includes tax, title, license, shipping, handling, and gratuity. CommonManBook.com. Yeah. I'm still sending them out today.
Oh.
CommonManBook.com. And I have a picture. And they're, the grades are bad. I mean, same with you. I had a B, C, some D's, F's. I have I's, incomplete. Did you ever get an incomplete?
Yes. Yes. Got more than a few
now,
of those.
Did yours? See, this is what I was most interested in mine. Because, and this is where I knew... My parents could accept poor, they weren't happy about them. They could expect poor grades, but it was the comments about mm-hmm. the behavior. Mine would be waste study time. The other one was disturbs the class.
Yeah.
Did you ever get any of the disturbs
yes.
the class?
I was a little disappointed when I got my transcript that those comments weren't a part of that. But when I would get my report card, yeah, there was talkative, too social, a lot of that, the classic class clownish
right.
type comments that from teachers.
Mine was just point blank, disturbs the class,
yeah.
waste study time, disturbs the class. And I think I've made this apology before to former classmates. If you are out there listening or know someone who went to school with me, and you feel as though my disruption in the class affected your studies and your ability to learn, and that you didn't get as much out of your education as you wanted to, your grades weren't as good, you didn't get the academic scholarship you didn't get accepted to the school you wanted to, you didn't get the degree that you wanted to, and basically you're an abject failure in the workforce and in life, I apologize. But I was working on my career as a gadfly talk show host. moonlighting stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. So I was working on my career. I was using school right. the way that I thought was fit for me. So I really don't have to apologize for anything, but I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry if your life and your career spiraled out of control because of my behavior. But that's just, you know what they call the Dems. What do they call them? Dems the apples? No.
Yeah.
Dems the whatever they call it.
Oh, yeah.
It just was, yeah.
How about them apples?
Yeah, how about them apples? Yeah. You know, that's, I can't, it's not my fault.
Talking.
What else did I say I wanted to talk about? Oh, yeah, this is so good. Did you know that Deion Sanders was coaching college football? I had no idea.
I didn't know until today, no.
And so, you saw this too? Let me guess, the morning show talked about it.
No.
Oh, I thought they did because they always talk about everything before I do. Let me see if I can find it. Who sent it to me? Yeah, here it is. Tana B. This is it. I think Tana B has caught wind of your performance and he's worried about the interim title being lifted forever. Not just the interim, but just producer. Not being. I mean, forget getting the full-time producer job. Just having the interim script and not upgrading, just be done. Because this is from Pro Football Talk. It's a tweet. It says, Deion Sanders gets mad at a reporter for addressing him as Deion, then claims reporters don't call Nick Saban Nick. And then in parentheses, Pro Football Talk writes, he's wrong. Reporters routinely address Saban as Nick. And then, of course, there are all sorts of responses to that. What do they call them?
Replies.
Yeah, replies. Yeah. Replies in the tweets. And apparently, that I was able to fetch a story about it. And Deion says, because apparently he stormed out. But no, I didn't storm out. No.
Yeah.
He just moved on to the next reporter, he claims. And because I didn't see it or hear it, he wasn't doing this tongue-in-cheek, was he? He really does mean it. He thinks he deserves that kind of respect. He's one of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, I have it right here.
Oh, do you? Well, why don't you play it?
All right, here we go.
You're up.
Hey, Deion, I was just wondering if you could...
Oh, let's back up a little bit. You don't call Nick Saban Nick. Don't call me Deion now, okay?
I call Nick Saban Nick.
No, you don't. That's a lie. If you call Nick Nick, you know you'll get cussed out on the spot. So don't do that to me. Treat me like Nick.
Okay, Deion. Just...
And now he gets up and leaves. That's the end.
And then I'm also told that Nick's never cussed anybody out.
No.
Part of this, maybe Deion's confused. And it could be blows to the head playing football. I don't know. Maybe he got. Did he get hit by a pitch when he played baseball? Take one off the noggin? Mm-hmm. I think the issue back with Saban was there was some rube reporter out of Tuscaloosa who he was offended. Oh, it was a big story. We mocked it here on the program where he... Nick Saban is football royalty. You should call him Coach Saban. That's the respect he has earned and deserves. You call him Coach Saban. Not Saban, not Nicholas, not Nick, not you with the face, but you call him Coach Saban. Then I did the bit because I've this is always... Dems to breaks. That's what I was looking for. Dems to breaks. I'm not really bothered by it. I just find it just, I roll my eyes, shrug my shoulders, and shake my head when grown men will say, well, Coach Zimmer told me that, if I take care of the football, would be, you don't have to call him Coach Zimmer. You're an adult. When you're a kid, when you're playing Pop Warner, Howard Pulley, you call him Coach. I did the bit before. You don't call me talk show host Cole, do you?
No. No.
Do you call him program director app? That, you know what? He deserves that respect.
Yes, he does.
I mean, he's been as successful as Nick said. He's won the iHeartMedia Award as the best program director in the company for sports talk. I think that was the award he won. Anytime I try to tell him how to run the radio station, we disagree. He always turns around and takes the trophy and sets it on the desk and says, now, what were you saying?
Mm-hmm. Does he show you his Marco?
Well, he doesn't have one of those, but Dave Ryan does. But I just, if you're appearing in the court on a trumped up bunco charge, oh, you call him Your Honor. Trust me. You don't go, hey, you with the face. You in the silly looking robe. What do you got that on for? Could you just get out of bed? You don't do that. So there are certain people that deserve that kind of respect. Even like they call former presidents Mr. President. No, he's not the president anymore. He was. He's not anymore. But I guess that's just people feel that's important, right? But Deion Sanders, I think, like, this is his second year. Like, is it Jackson State or Eastern Mississippi? Maybe he's at one of the Michigan schools that PJ left. It's like, your name is Deion. And you've accomplished more at your craft than I have at mine. Which ain't saying much. But you have, you're very well known. Hall of Fame, I don't know if he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame yet, but he certainly will be. And now he's coaching, and that's all good. And he's been an analyst on TV and a pitch man, and he's done well for himself. But I ain't idolizing and pedestalizing. I ain't calling you coach. Sorry. Am I wrong?
No. I mean, he specifically asked, I guess, in the beginning of the presser at one point that they do address him as coach. So that was an interesting move by the reporter to just, challenge it. And then, of course, the response, he gets called on and he responds with, okay, Deion. And then that's
when. He's a reporter. I like him.
Not sure.
See if you can find out who that is. I like him. And I'm sorry, you can say, well, that's being disrespectful. And when he asked to be referred to it as that way, you should acquiesce and you should bow to his wishes. But I don't think so. I'm sorry. It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, one emailer says, players need to call Deion coach. To everyone else, he is just a guy. Yeah, I mean, if the players, I guess, even at college, if you want to call them coach, but I don't think a coach. But I think I either dreamt that we talked about this sidebar story before or not, and we're running out. We got to get Rosen in. But I remember I was at a Posh and Tony golf club, and I was playing with the club president, and he had a caddy. And let's say the guy's last name was Bag of Donuts. It wasn't, but the caddy said, Mr. Bag of Donuts. Do you want me to read that putt? Mr. Bag of Donuts, you're 150 yards from the front of the green, 154 to the pin, 163 to the back. Mr. Bag of Donuts. Looks at me, Mr. Cole. I said, don't call me Mr. Cole. Call me Common or call me Dan. Yeah. You don't have to call me Mr. It's just, and again, I guess if you want to be called Your Highness or Sir Mark Wilf, or the legendary Mark Rosen, knock yourself out. We'll bounce a few things. Speaking of the legendary, he'll be here momentarily. We'll talk to him next. It's the Common Man program. We call this a Wing It Wednesday with Common. Zach Halverson in for a Tenneby, and then Mark Rosen joins us next. Right,
the Fan.
Legendary Mark Rosen, he joins the Common Man and Zach Halverson in for Santa B. My sources tell me, are the Kraken selecting players as we speak, and have we lost a player?
Well, you got to ask.
I'm told we're a
hockey guru sitting right over there.
Well, I'm asking you because you're the legendary Mark Rosen who's got Emmy Awards for your sports reporting. Have you heard anything, Zach? Have you heard anything?
It's Susie.
And we did lose him, is that correct?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's not official, okay. But it's been leaking out. They don't announce it on that until tonight on ESPN.
Are you surprised as opposed to Kakinen?
That's who I thought yesterday was saying, yeah. And I know that the goaltending situation was interesting, and Kappa was certainly, I thought, could have been a good pick as well, but
the Wild have to be. I mean, not that they're thrilled about losing Susie. No. They knew they were going to lose someone, but I mean, keeping their goalie tandem together, it's not a bad thing, especially a young goalie like Kakinen. Especially if Talbot gets nicked up at all, they got the guy. So searching for another backup, which there are plenty of, but so
now they need three more defensemen here to fill.
Yeah, well, I'm sure your guy Bill Guerin's got a plan.
Got a plan.
Master plan. Yeah.
Well, you got what you wanted.
The Bucks.
Yep.
I did. I mean, I was open with you yesterday, so I wouldn't mind if it went seven, but I mean, I was really enjoying watching Milwaukee develop after getting, and I think, look at
this. Can I interject this real quick, though?
Please do.
Here's what I don't understand. This way, your mind is so different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
If you kind of wanted to see Milwaukee win for the team and for their fans,
right.
Well, wouldn't it be so much better to win it at home?
Of course.
But selfishly, you wanted it to go seven because you wanted another game. So it was really more about Mark Rosen, rather than the fans of Milwaukee.
No, and then look, if they were going to party, win or lose.
No, but how much better is it when it's at
home? Of course it's a lot better.
But that's what I said
about the Stanley Cup. Remember when I got ridiculed for saying Tampa Bay wasn't that upset about losing that game in Montreal, because now their fans can watch them get the cup at home, and that's exactly what happened. Oh no, you got to win the game. Well, of course they wanted to win the game, but no, I enjoyed. I thought, given where they were a year ago and playing, bubble basketball, which was very kind of cold to watch, if that's the right term. It was great to see the enthusiasm of both the fans in Phoenix and, of course, in Milwaukee last night in particular, since they waited since 1971 to win a title. And it was a very entertaining game. I mean, after they got beat the first two games, I mean, not many teams have come back even from an 0-2 deficit.
How many do you know?
Well, I think five in the last.
Five.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So that's not a lot.
No.
I mean, you get a situation where they were so good at home, but keep in mind, I mean, there was early in the playoffs where Giannis missed a couple games. He thought he might be out till like next year. I mean, he was, that hyperextended knee looked really bad, and you don't know if that there's a ligament involved or what went on there. And he was not only able to bounce back from the injury, but then just have one of the most dominant performances in finals history. And just an absolute joy to watch on both ends of the court, because he plays the game, and I know, say what you want about the officiating, it's a very difficult game to officiate, and I know that Van Gundy last night was making the point, it's just a different game. Obviously, you had to allow a certain amount of contact because they're just banging into each other. They're playing defense. They're playing hard on both ends, especially as that game wore on. And you're going to always have questionable calls or non-calls. But Giannis was just absolutely spectacular. And he got better support than from his teammates last night.
50 points, 14 boards, and 5 assists.
And how many blocks? 5 blocks?
Or 5, that's what I meant, with blocks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, just like a gazelle going down the court. And I mean, just by all accounts, just a class A human being and just spectacular. So, I mean, I did thoroughly enjoy the game, and watching the NBA Finals in front of a packed house like that. And, I mean, Giannis talked about it afterwards, saying, basically, I think someone asked him, you could have left, could have gone joint, kind of put together their own super team. And he stayed in Milwaukee. They rewarded him with a big contract, but Middleton and him have been together for 8 years. That's for a quote unquote small market team. That's pretty unusual. And that's where you start thinking about
you're not going to say that it can happen here.
No, I'm not saying it can happen here. I'm just saying when you want to keep the core together, if you look at Carl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards? Do you look at the core group and say, well, they're going to stick around as long as it takes them to get out of town? Well, now there's an example. Now, you can argue the fact that...
Do you think either one of those guys is even close to the Greek Freak?
No.
See, that's the...
No. I don't mean in terms of sheer unadulterated talent.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is, great. The Greek stays there, Terrence and Middleton and wins.
Yeah.
That's because he's the Greek Freak.
Yeah, but you didn't know right away. I mean, he wasn't the Greek Freak 8 years ago. The Timberwolves took your guy, Shabazz Muhammad, over him. You know that, right?
What I know is Anthony Edwards and the Big Meow will never be as good as the Greek Freak. They never will.
Well, no.
So my point is, because they stayed there and it worked there, doesn't mean it's going to, because they have the right player to work.
I'm just saying that, that's where it's incumbent upon the team to supplement those guys. I'm not saying they're good enough to win a championship on their own. They're clearly not. But in terms of getting into a conversation about how this team progresses, you got to keep your star players. And that's really the discussion in the NBA where you, and I think a lot of people could argue, say, well, if the Brooklyn Nets had been healthy, Milwaukee would have never gotten out of the East. If Harden's healthy, if Durantula's healthy, and they got the super team in Brooklyn, right. Maybe it doesn't happen. Maybe Lightning just struck just at the right time for Milwaukee and all the stars were aligned, but they were, and that's all that matters. They got the ship. And, the city celebrated like, that they've never probably celebrated before. I mean, other than, if you don't count a Packer Super Bowl, that's Green Bay. I don't count Milwaukee, is that?
Well, no. If you're in Milwaukee, we talked about it yesterday.
Yeah, they abandoned
the
city. Yeah.
That's what they did. They left.
Yeah. We don't need your games at County Stadium anymore.
You know what Milwaukee is when the Packers left for those two games?
What?
A cold Sheboygan.
Is that right?
It's nothing but a cold Sheboygan.
Yeah, kind of feels that way. It was fun to watch. I mean, his free throws. I mean, 55% free throw shooter in the playoffs, I think.
But he 15 hit seven, for 17 last year. 17
out of 18 or whatever it was. I mean, they're doing that thing in Phoenix, the dribble, counting the number of times he dribbled. And one guy was ripping off $100 bills to show every time. It was a comedy show. But kudos to him. I mean, that's another part of the game that when...
You like the feel-good story angle of it, don't you? And in this day and age, we don't have a lot of good feel-good stories.
No, we don't. And I think that, and look at, I'm sorry, I'm blanking out the name of the Phoenix coach. What a classy guy he is. And there's a great story about him, about having lost his wife in a car accident and just what he's overcome. And he went into the locker, the Bucks locker room after the game and offered had his arm around Giannis and said it was just, I learned a lot from this series. Pretty classy move. But yeah, it was fun to watch. I enjoyed it. Now we're kind of, I guess why I wouldn't mind in a seventh game. I was clearly happy Milwaukee won last night. Is because right now we're.
Yeah, but I'll never understand that you wanted it so much.
I was wearing my Oscar Robertson jersey watching the game. I was enjoying the series. I enjoyed what Chris Paul and Devin Booker were doing. And I just enjoyed that level of basketball. And
other words, you wanted it to go on forever,
not forever till Saturday night. And then guess what? We got Vikings football camp starting next week. So I mean, we're here.
Well,
we made it.
I'm glad I wanted it to only go six because I wanted the Bucks fans after not having a championship to celebrate since 50 years ago. Now, they almost did it in baseball when Harvey's Wallbangers lost to the Cards in 82.
They might do it again in baseball this year.
But since they haven't had that opportunity, I wanted it to be in Milwaukee, unlike you. You wanted selfishly.
I didn't say that.
Wanted a seventh game.
I said I didn't care.
Selfishly, you wanted a seventh game.
I wouldn't have minded if it went seven. I was clearly wanting, I was rooting, if I want to use that word, for Milwaukee last night because I was so enjoying watching Giannis play that level of game. Right. And they may follow up. I mean, they're having the kind of season that, again, for a small market city.
Are you saying dynasty? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm trying to say that if the Brewers right now are six games in front.
Couldn't Milwaukee become the next Tampa Bay?
I'm trying to say that we're, once again, Minnesota's jealous and envious of what's going on in Wisconsin.
We are?
Well, from a sports standpoint, you have to be. The Timberwolves, the Twins, The Bucks, the Brewers, hello. The Gophers, the Badgers, hello. The Vikings, the Packers, hello. What do you think? Am I missing something?
No, I guess.
I don't know. Just saying.
Boy, way to throw cold water on our expectations here.
Not expectations. Talking about just the recent history.
Our NHL team is better than theirs.
Well, it's got a point there.
Yeah. Can't argue that.
No.
My source tells me that as we speak, mm-hmm. as we approach Major League Baseball's trading deadline,
yes, sir.
There's a lot of steam in the Big Apple. The Mets, apparently, my sources tell me, I don't know if you've heard this, the Metropolitans want Jose Berríos in the worst kind of way. They want a DeGrom, Berríos 1-2 punch.
I understand why.
The Big Apple. Have you heard that same thing?
I try not to get too caught up in the rumor mills because most of them in baseball don't pan out. But I again.
Okay, Rocco.
No. I know.
That's
but
a Baldelli.
It's just the history of what happens. It's there. You have all compared to what it used to be. You got 50 people speculating on social media about kind of trades that are made. Now, the Mets went and got Johan Santana. I mean, he went and got the Mets. Now the Twins have to trade Berríos, and we'll see what the Mets are capable of giving up for him. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. It's going to be the leverage will be there, and I think Berríos will be a target for a lot of teams. I just don't see how the Twins are going to, we talked about it. Buxton's a guy. I wish they'd sign Buxton this week. I just do. I think Berríos is going to be impossible the way things are looking. I mean, maybe I'll be wrong, but I think he's hell-bent on punching his free agent ticket.
I don't think Buxton will sign either. He's not going to sign here.
I don't know.
He remembers what they did.
Oh, yeah, I know he's bitter about that, but
He claims he's not anymore, but I think that's
because... Those dollar signs can change somebody's mind.
Well, he'll get the same dollar signs and more in L.A., New York, Boston. He'll get even more, Mark. There's plenty more where that came from. You know that.
Of course I do.
Now, according to Dazzle Dan...
Yeah, that's... Polad's going to open his checkbook.
D. Falvey told him...
D. Falvey.
open checkbook.
Yeah.
Here's the check, Byron. Jose,
yeah, I like,
write down the number you want. It's yours. Okay.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I don't think. I mean, unless there is a change of heart of the way the organization is run.
Yeah, a lot of zeros there. They'd have to fill in the blanks.
And you know how it will be spun. Look.
We did our best,
and we got a lot of great prospects from the Metropolitans. We're building for the future. Our window was open there. And this isn't a rebuild, folks.
Yeah,
we're reloading. We expect to be contenders next year. With we're going to be active in free agency.
Yeah,
and we're going to. That's what they'll say. All those things.
Well, I get the Mets. The Mets are in first place.
Yeah, they're in first.
2.5 game lead. They need more pitching.
Well, everybody needs more pitching. Well, except the Dodgers.
I mean the contenders. Yeah,
except for the Dodgers.
Yeah, everybody needs more pitching.
Except for the Dodgers. Matter of fact, the Dodgers couldn't find room in the rotation for Kenta Maeda, and he almost won the Cy Young in the American League last year. And they needed a flamethrower reliever, not a fourth starter. They already had five.
They got enough of those guys. Embarrassment of riches.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I just.
Will you denounce ownership of the Twins if it's announced that they trade Jose Berríos and or Byron Buxton?
Well, I think the Berríos thing is going to be, of course I want him to keep Jose Berríos. I just don't, I think Berríos, it's also, I'm not just suggesting the Twins is, give him a $200 million contract. I mean, maybe people feel that that's what they should do. And I get it. Like, if you want to keep your top pitchers, this is what you have to pay. But it's kind of a domino effect with all of that. I just think if all... The two of them, I think Buxton's the key guy to me that you got to keep because he's the key to this lineup if they ever get their act together. And he gets an opportunity to, he can keep himself in the lineup for more than 3 days a week or 3 days a month. but yeah, he's that good. But
is he?
Yes, I think he is. I think he's just finding himself.
He had one good six-week stretch.
Well, I guess you have to roll the dice with that because what else you got? Jake Cave?
Remember Case Keenum? He had one great season. Boy, did he look like...
Yeah, what happened to Case Keenum?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. I get it. But that you're comparing Byron Buxton's talent with Case Keenum?
I am.
Wow.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Case closed. Wait till you see the kind of year Kirk's going to have this year.
Under center.
He's held... Well, we're not doing under center with Kirk Cousins this year, I don't think.
What?
No!
Oh, hold on. Oh my gosh. Well, let's talk about that on the other side of the break.
Oh, I just spilled the beans.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that on the other side of the break.
Okay.
I'm Common.
He's Zach.
And you're Mark Rosen. And do you know the way to San Jose?
I absolutely do.
Do you know the way to San Jose? I've been away so long, I may go wrong.
When you turn on your faucet.
On the Fan.
It's the fast-paced Common Man program. It's the last day of the week for me, a Wednesday, on a Wing It Wednesday. As a matter of fact, I will be gone for several days. I'm headed to Indianapolis, Indiana, and then to Las Vegas, Nevada. My boy's got some AAU basketball. So tournaments, 3 days in Indianapolis, and then we fly right out to Vegas. I'll be there.
Vegas.
I'm not sure who will be in this chair. Someone will be hosting Thursday and Friday.
Right.
Tennessee will be the host, I think, Monday,
yeah,
Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Right.
He will be back.
Right.
And then I don't know who the producer is. Zach, do you have any idea? Are you in that chair at all the rest of this week or next week?
I'm not sure, no.
So anyway, but you will be here, right?
I
will.
Next week, yeah. I'll be here tomorrow.
And then you're out Friday.
Yeah, I'm out Friday.
And then you're back.
Personal reason, yeah.
And then I will be back next Thursday. You would think you'd have learned your lesson by now.
What?
Well, I received this email. I hate to explore. Here it is. Jimmy Finlayson, the master of the double take. Mark Rosen, master of the stolen take. He just said basketball in the bubble was cold. Exactly how Hi-Fi described it on Twitter. Now he's stealing from coworkers.
Okay.
Sad, really. So, because you, and it was funny the way you did it, too. You tried to act like you just, you know. Is that the right word? I mean, it felt cold, and Barrera just tweeted that.
No, so when did he tweet it? Like, last hour? I didn't see Perreault's tweet. I was watching a game last night. Oh my God! People keep track of tweets.
Well, it's just to describe it as cold is just a word that I haven't heard a lot of people use to describe it. And then you just kind of came out.
The atmosphere was cold.
Is that the right word? I mean, it seems as though.
Well, that's if I was struggling for. I didn't see anything.
You saw Barrera's tweet and said, "God, that sounds good. It's a great take."
I would be happy to steal Barrera's take, but I did not.
All right.
Didn't even see his tweets. I wasn't even looking at Twitter last night.
It's just a lesson to be learned.
Maybe the best of the best come up with the same words.
Wait.
I always love that one.
I just wanted to let somebody listen to that. It's like Big Brother 1984. Everybody's listening. Everybody's following
tweets.
It's like you can't do that anymore. You could do it back when you were doing the sports on TV back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and the 2000s, where there wasn't as much social media and people didn't know what
educating
other people
me
were saying.
Things.
Well, no, but now everybody hears everybody and they see everything. And so when you come up with some unique take or word,
you don't even look at Twitter.
No, I don't. Because I employ the esoteric approach. I don't need social media. I survived without it. I would prefer carrier pigeon or message in a bottle when it comes to
message in a bottle.
When it comes to communicating with people. But I'm saying most people in this day and age.
Oh, I get it.
They spend
an inordinate amount of time.
So if you see
social media.
Adam Schefter, you say something and you pretend you came up with it. You're going to go, well, no, Adam Schefter said that exact same thing, Mark. You took it from
busting somebody said something about, I said enough platitudes about Giannis. I mean, I'm surprised someone didn't say I got a take from that. And I'm watching the game with my own eyes and I'm just acknowledging.
Well, in that case, they knew that that was your own thoughts.
How nice. Yeah. Thank you.
But then when you would come up with another one and you're stealing somebody's take.
It didn't steal anybody's take.
God. And then my spy says Barrera tweeted it last night. So it wasn't an hour ago.
Oh, I have no idea. Well, thanks for telling me because I wasn't.
Do you follow Barrero?
Yes.
Okay.
But I was watching the game right. And I was watching.
And I'm sure Barrero was too. And he was probably tweeting during the game and you were following tweets.
I was not following tweets. I was with my son and I was watching the game and not on Twitter. I didn't tweet one thing last night. Okay. I was busy actually watching the game and not worrying about my Twitter account to get a bunch of likes.
People like to be liked, don't they?
They do.
It's sort of like, what was that, Stuart Smalley, was that the character's name?
Yeah, he looked in the mirror, but yeah, Sally like Field famously said, you like me, you really like me, and she won the Academy Award.
Okay, you really like me.
Yeah.
And that's how people are out there.
The world we live in.
These so-called celebrities, these radio talk show hosts and bloggers and TV personalities and singers and songwriters and athletes, they want to be liked and loved.
Politicians.
And so they send out things, and they can't wait to see how many likes they get.
I know.
I've never paid attention to it.
I know you follow zero people.
Correct.
Congratulations.
Because I don't even care what I have to say about something. Why would I care about what Mark? I'll know from you. I don't need to follow you. I'll find out the next day. Plus, listening to you on the air, it's like I'm following Barrero, Russo.
Well, apparently I'm not following Russo because I didn't know who the has been official who the Kraken took.
They should have taken
Kakanin.
They could have called him Krakenin.
Krakenin. Yeah, exactly. That's why I was surprised he didn't take it for
Brilliant!
A couple of reasons.
Rosen's suspicions confirmed. He said, I had a feeling Rosen might be stealing phrases when he claimed the Bucks had won a championship since 47 years ago. Genius.
That's pretty good.
Because that's what you said. You were stealing the phrase from Ben Franklin.
I did. Franklin did say that.
47 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
Who said oneth by land, tooth by sea?
Jeopardy. The Paul Revere guy, I think.
Yeah. And he started a band called
Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Yeah, and they went and moved to Oakland.
And absolutely they did.
That's all they And Al Davis bought
them. You are correct.
They were going to be in the NFL. They ended up in the AFL.
So I want to get your comments because you're a Gopher football guy. You've regaled us and recanted tales of watching the Gophers at Memorial with your dad.
Yep, I have.
The Cleveland.com or something, they released the Big Ten poll, the poll that they were the ones that I don't think it's their poll. Maybe they were the ones that contacted beat writers for all the Big Ten football teams and then a handful of other people that have a national perspective, and they have the Gophers where they're ranked. And I want you to tell me what you think about that. Get your thoughts on that. We'll do that on the other side of the break. It's the Common Man program along with Zach Holverzen and Mark Rosen here on The Fan. They do an annual preseason poll.
Like everybody.
And Ohio State garnered 33 of 34 first place votes to win both the Big Ten's East Division title and then win the conference championship. They've won 4 Big Ten football championships in a row, so they would be the unanimous pick. Wisconsin was the pick to win the West. The Gophers were picked to finish 4th in the West. My question for you is that about right, do you think? And I don't know how much you really scour the rosters, the schedules, or taking a deep dive into the Big Ten football season. But also at that spot, do you think, and it's just a poll, it's just opinions. It hasn't been on the field. But if after going into your 5th season, do you think the Gophers should be a little further along and should maybe be more highly regarded? What are your thoughts?
First of all, I think that's probably a little low. I think 3rd would be more realistic. I think Wisconsin. Well,
they've got Northwestern ahead of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, and I wouldn't necessarily. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not going to finish ahead of Minnesota, but too many people, when they come up with these preseason predictions, are basing. I'm not. You can't necessarily just toss everything out last year in the COVID year, but it was different. I mean, you go 11-2 and win a big bowl game in 2019 to 3-4 last year with seven games and just, you know, a lot of interruptions. And every team had to face it. I get it. But you didn't know from week to week if you were going to play, if the game was going to get canceled, if it was going to be, you know, whatever it was. So I think, you know, the return to having normalcy is going to be a good thing for a lot of teams. But I think Minnesota in particular, because the strength of this team is, A, their running back in Ibrahim, and in particular their offensive line. They should be able to run the ball on just about everyone and should be able to put up some good yards against Ohio State. The biggest question is, when they open up against the Buckeyes, of course, is how do you stop them? Well, the defense, you know, was good in 2019. It was not good last year. And that's, you know, that's, again, was it because of the uncertainty? Because, you know, I just think that it's got to be somewhere certainly in between and closer to where they were. I'm not saying they're going to win 11 games, but I think they'll win more than six or seven. I mean, I know they have a tougher schedule, obviously opening up against the Buckeyes. I don't think that their coach has lost a conference game in 2 years. So, you know, they're going to be probably two touchdown underdogs at home. I mean, it'd be a lot of fun to open up with them, but no, I think that it's really about their defense. Kind of improvements they make on defense? They got some potential star players on defense, but can they, as a unit, make enough strides to become a, you know, second or third place team in the Big Ten? And that's the key thing. You know, putting pressure on the quarterback. We don't see a lot of that from Minnesota. Offense should be really good. I mean, I just think that They got a lot of stars on that offense. That offensive line is huge. I mean, I talked to Tommy Olsen about it, and he's, you know, as a former offensive lineman for the Gophers,
right?
He's very high on the team that they have. That offensive line, they're going to bulldoze people. And Tanner Morgan's, you know, is experienced.
Olsen got a little bit of Fargo Flash in him, where he sees it through maroon and gold glasses?
He does, not as much as Fargo, but yes, he does at times. But I think he also is realistic about knowing offensive lines as well as he does, okay, that this is a special one for them. And they need, you know, Chris Ottman Bell has to be kind of the guy that, you know, they lost Rashad Bateman. And that's, you know, that's a big hole to fill, because they like that vertical game. Tanner Morgan's can be a very accurate passer. So I like their offense. The defense, I don't have, you know, have a good feel for right now, obviously. I just, until they prove otherwise.
Right.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. How was that?
Under center, there will not be one?
No, there's going to be a show, but Kirk has decided, you know, I...
Just give me 1 second. I didn't realize. Breaking news. After a lengthy two-year, was it 1 year?
2 years.
After a lengthy two-year run, under center, starring Kirk Cousins with Mark Rosen, mm-hmm, will no longer exist?
In that form, yes. I mean, no, Kirk Cousins is one. I'll give Kirk a lot of credit, because much like the way you put a lot of work into your ads, mm-hmm, he put a lot of work into that show. And I mean, he put a lot of work into the guests. He put a lot of work in his research. We had guests. He did a lot of homework, was always prompt, was always, I mean, he's very cerebral, as you know. And I appreciated that because I've worked with a lot of athletes who just kind of mail it in and just show up.
You've worked with a lot of talk show hosts.
Well, that's a whole other story. But I think, look, I don't know the whole story. I really don't.
But he's out.
He's out. Yeah, I think he just wants to really concentrate on just playing football. And I'm not saying he's not doing any other ads. But he's not doing the show. And I think this took up a considerable amount of time, you know, whatever.
Will there be an under center show?
There's going to be a show. Yeah, there's going to be. I'm hosting a Viking show
with Alex Molden. No, what's our new quarterback's name?
Kellen Mold.
Kellen, what is it? Kellen Mold. Will it be with the backup QB?
No. Okay. It's yet to be determined. But we'll have an hour show every week.
Really?
Yeah. And it'll be fun. I hope.
I'm curious now.
I am too. I can't give you an answer. I don't know what's going to look like. The team's reports next week, and the powers to be will figure it out. How's that for an answer?
So right now the show is called To Be Determined.
Exactly.
To be determined.
Yeah.
To be or not to be determined.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Vikings are the show in town. We get it. I mean, the Twins blew their opportunity this summer to garner some of that audience. And, you know, it's got the Olympics, which still kind of don't have a real good feel how that's all going to – the Olympics will go on, barring a catastrophe.
Did I see this right? There are 17 Minnesotans represented at the Olympics.
That sounds about right. Yeah, a whole bunch of different sports.
And
yeah.
Do you know I hope they're not all from the same sport. Yeah.
No, of course not.
Do you and I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm really not. I just haven't done any research. I saved a story, Fish Wrap Factory West Side, I think it was this past Sunday, that I think they did little bios or stories on the 17. I just have not looked at it yet. Do you have any idea any of them? Any that are like front runners for winning medals?
I would think
medals?
That Gable Stevenson would
okay,
be one.
The wrestler.
Yeah. I mean, he's in story either for – he could return to Minnesota.
Right.
I think he has his sights set because he's got a big personality. He could be, you know, one of the WWE. Is that the wrestling world?
I think it's WWE, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly would follow the footsteps of Brock Lesnar. Certainly has the personality along with the talent to pursue that if he's so inclined. I don't – I mean, I know there's a couple of gymnasts. I know there's probably a couple of swimmers. We got I didn't see the preview, and I'll be honest with you, I'm slowly warming up to the Olympics. I just haven't got into it. I know the women's soccer team got upset by Sweden 3-0 yesterday, kind of kicked things off before
kind of
the
embarrassing,
Open.
Isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, they haven't lost in a long time. It doesn't mean they're eliminated from medal consideration.
No,
but,
no.
But their first match, yeah.
Is this pool play?
Yeah, it's pool play, I think, yeah. So they lost, they got hammered.
So they don't play as well in the water, then?
Correct. Water polo.
That was a bad joke. It's all
bad.
I mean, it's Wing It Wednesday, and I'm it's basically a FedEx Friday for me.
You know, I think we talk about basketball. I mean, I'm anxious to see how Popovich molds that team together now. I assume Booker and Middleton are joining the team. You know, they can fly over there now. They're available once they get past the protocols. That'll be fun to watch, and you know, I mean, the usual suspect. I mean, watching Simone Biles do her thing, anytime she's performing, that's going to be a big hit. It's just going to, you know, we talked about, it's going to be weird without fans. It just is. The Olympics are just so.
Yeah. I talked about that yesterday, the excitement that builds with the crowd before the start of the 100-meter dash. Who's the fastest man and woman in the world?
Man.
Is that a fever pitch?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, on your mark, it's that go, and the gun goes, and the crowd's roaring.
Absolutely.
For that, 9 to 10 seconds that they're running down. Yeah, so, yeah, it will be different. In swimming, as they're doing the butterfly, where the crowd's at fever pitch, it will be different.
You can't hear yourself thinking there. I mean, it's so, yeah, I mean, it'll... People will warm up to the games as they see fit. They always do pretty well in the ratings. And, again, they have the captive audience. The end of July, early August, there's really nothing on that competes against it. And you know, I don't know if they ever make their money back on it. I think it's certainly Tokyo's not making their money because of the not having ticket sales.
Right.
But the network, as far as NBC goes, I think it's more of a loss, but it's a prestigious thing. I mean, the last one that CBS got involved with, I was there in Japan in 98 in Nagano, and that was the Winter Games.
And you were there.
I was there for that. Yeah, that's when the women's hockey team won their gold medal, and that was a lot of fun. It was always the USA and Canada, and it was a lot of fun. It was very exciting and covering a whole bunch of the athletes that were there. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the people of Nagano a lot. They were very kind and very generous and very friendly. I absolutely loved it there.
Tell me if there's any truth to this rumor. The Twins have approached you about doing a special show called Protecting the Pocket. And then
no comment.
You'd be perfect for it.
No.
Protecting.
I think that's what Kirk Cousins' show would be.
Yeah.
That's what he's looking for this year.
Protection in the pocket.
Yeah. Nice try, Larry Mondello guy.
That wasn't Larry Mondello.
It wasn't. Okay. No. So he's got his hair cut finally.
Who did?
Larry Mondello guy.
Who did he?
He was in here playing Password that one day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. He was.
Man, he had a man bun going.
Long-haired hippie freaks need not apply.
Yeah.
There was another one I wanted to ask you. Now I'm annoyed. Oh, no, here's what it is. It was an email. That's what it is. Okay, you ready?
Sure.
Rosen was selfishly hoping for the Suns to win last night so there'd be a game seven. It's far from the first time he's had completely selfish motives. 1991, he booed when Gene Larkin got the game-winning hit because he wanted it to go another four innings. At the end of Miracle on Ice game, he was rooting for the Russians to score a goal so it would go to overtime. And when David slew Goliath, Rosen wanted David disqualified for using a slingshot so there would be a rematch on the Philistines' home court. See, these are the things selfishly for your own viewing enjoyment.
I'm not going to deny any of that.
Now, that was Larry Mondello.
That I'm not going to deny.
That was Larry
Philistines?
Mondello.
Did he bring up the Philistines?
The Philistines, yes. The home court advantage for the Philistines. That's what you wanted to see.
Where did he get that slingshot?
David. I don't know.
I don't know. Just homemade, I guess.
I did not see it last night. You'll find this shocking.
Mm-hmm.
But it... it is almost uncanny, the local nine.
Oh,
they get an offensive output and get a big lead, and then the relievers come in and it just caves, and they lose again. Now, they're losing to a really good claw. The White Sox are going to win the division and really could contend for getting to the World Series.
Getting healthier.
But again, you know, it doesn't matter what if they either get a good pitching performance like they did out of Barrios, and then he blows the game, or they finally get offense like they did, and then the next thing the bullpen blows up again.
Yep.
It's just, it's uncanny. It really is. And I know we've come to expect that, and it's nothing new. It's not like we're doing breaking news here, but it's just very rarely do we see where, hey, we put it all together. Crisp defense, good pitching performance, bullpen came in, we had some timely hitting.
Yeah, against Detroit, they can do that.
The last time they played Detroit, they got swept.
Yeah, they got swept after they swept Detroit.
So it didn't happen.
When they played Detroit here.
Yeah.
Now, I guess they're finishing up against the White Sox tonight. It's so hard to even keep track of what's going on. They had Pineda pitching tonight. And then they got Ohtani, your guy, coming to town starting tomorrow night for a weekend series. They got a four-game series against the Angels, and... you know, I don't know how many tickets Ohtani's going to sell. I mean, this is one of those series. And seriously, you go, I wish Mike Trout was playing. I think he's still hurt. But that's where you go to watch the guy in the other team. I hope he's pitching, too. It would be, that's where you go, when's he pitching? If he's pitching, I want to watch Ohtani. I want to watch him hit. I'll go watch one of those games, not to see the Twins, but to go see Ohtani.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's.
That's.
You know, that in that's kind of how it's been for the Minnesota Timberwolves for almost their entire existence, other than they had that stretch into the 04 one. But other than that, it was always, I get to see, you know, LeBron comes to town once a year, and I get to see LeBron play. Or was it twice a year? I can't remember.
Well, depending on what conference he was in.
Right. Yeah. And then we get to see this guy and that guy. You're let's face it, the Wolves and smartly, they would promote the old come and see. You know, they did, at least they did that on occasion where they're promoting who's coming. I think the Twins probably do it, and you got to sell tickets.
Right.
And if you have nothing to sell on your sideline, well then you
the most famous marquee I ever heard in my life. Maybe Sid was the one who told me this. Maybe a couple other people. When the Knicks were playing the Minneapolis Lakers, the marquee said at Madison Square Garden, George Mikan versus the New York Knicks. That was it.
Right.
It'd be like Michael Jordan versus the Minnesota Timberwolves, or, you know, next year it'll be the Greek Freak against the Timberwolves. Sold one person. That's all they had to say. Mikan was that dominant. Funny. Well, that changed.
We've got about 3 minutes here. Do you have anything? I'm scrolling through some Fish Wrap Factory East and West Side to see if I can find.
I just see your guy, Caleb Truex. I was scrolling through Twitter, just caught a nice fish. Gotta go, Caleb.
I was going to, glad you reminded me. You know, I think people have heard, I've now joined the Profile team.
Yeah.
been on it for a couple weeks. Yep. I'm beginning to. It is about a lifestyle change. It's about, because I've done it. I've in radio, I've gone town to town, up and down the dial. I've also gone pound to pound, up and down the scale. I think we all have, but I've never been able to keep it off. And this right. is, you know, Danette's working with me. I meet her on Thursdays. I'll be by phone tomorrow because I'm out of
right.
town.
Right.
But I'm down to the super middleweight limit right yep. now. And I want Truax.
You want Truax?
I want Truax.
Wow.
Maybe I can
send him a message, direct message.
But here's what I'll tell you.
Yep.
I don't think he wants any part of me.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. No, I don't think he does.
Did you go to that boxing bit?
Boxing bit?
Wasn't that you? I'm so confused. I talked to too many people on this station. No. I thought you got into the ring.
Oh, no, I went down there to work out once.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I thought it was you. I went down there to learn the
and
then, well, Deuce kept going back. Deuce went there every day for 2 weeks, but now he's working again.
Okay. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, gosh. He kept going every day.
My goodness.
Going down there. And I went the first time, and I liked it. I mean, trust me, but it's my schedule is,
yeah,
it's
too erratic.
I know you're thinking, you work 3 hours a day. Well, the gym's only open weekdays from like 3 to 7. So that's not a good time
right.
for me because I've got things going at home and here and there. But I will be going back. I'm going to go buy I'm going to get a heavy bag and put it in my house because it is a great workout.
Yeah,
you know, and that's part of the profile way is they eventually want you to, they will design a workout plan right. for you to go along with your healthy eating for life. But I want to. I think I told you it was at the very end of that workout with Truax. I think mm-hmm. I talked about this on the radio. It was Deuce and myself, and then there were like four other boxers or young guys.
Yep.
And then Truax said, "Okay, I want you guys." And I've seen Truax. I've gone down to watch him spar on a number of occasions before big fights, world
right,
title fights.
Right.
And what he does at the very end of his sparring session is for 20 seconds he'll throw as many punches as he can. Either he'll go from jabs to hooks to crosses to everything like that, right? To uppercuts. And he'll hit the heavy bag and just mm-hmm. nonstop for 20 seconds, rest for 10, back for 20, rest for 10, back for 20 for 6.5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
I got through the 6.5 minutes, but I was exhausted. I almost didn't make it. By that last time, I'm trying to throw punches. I just can't throw anymore.
Your arms are heavy.
My arms are about to fall off. But I tell you what. So then I even looked at him and I took him aside and I said, I even have more respect now for you than I ever did because I said, I knew it was tough. And I know boxing isn't, you're not throwing for 20 seconds but the idea that you're throwing punches, strategizing, taking punches, moving around the ring, and you only get a minute between rounds and it's 3 minutes. And the thing with the sweet signs, as you know, like in basketball, it's like, oh, I need a rest. You come out, you check out.
Can't do that here.
In football, you play offense or defense. In hockey, you skate for 45 seconds. You're out. It's like, no.
It's not
tag team. It's not like a minute and a half into the second round. You need a break. You got to go through the whole thing.
I've been watching more boxing lately on Showtime, whatever. It's some really good fights. I can tell the Truax is watching the same fight
boxing
and get his opinion about it.
Yeah, that was
it's some damn good fights on right now.
Charlo fought.
That's the one I saw. God, that was a good fight.
Yeah, it was a really good fight from what I understand. I did not see it, but I talked to a tech. Caleb and I text and talk more than most people know, and I am going
to
watch
it. Well, you take care of your boy and have a good weekend.
We'll have fun. We'll be playing hoops, and I'll file a full report when I return.
So
you'll be back tomorrow.
I will.
I don't know who's in this chair or that chair.
Supposed to be determined.
I don't know who will be in this chair or that chair, but somebody will be there. Enjoy the rest of your day. Stick around. Big Ticket and JGR next here on The Fan.
Good night, folks.
Listen back to any of Common Man's programs by podcasting on the iHeartRadio app or KFAN.com.